Hey, everybody, the latest with the judge, the latest with Judge Chutkan and Donald Trump with his legal cases mount. Kristen Hawkins joins us as she thought that Donald Trump's statement was excellent in regards to the abortion topic. And Donald Trump crushes the Democrats' fundraising total. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast and become a member. When you become a member, you can listen to every episode advertiser-free. That is members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Dear friends of mine just faxed the governor of Nebraska. They sent me a copy of the fax. Wanted to fax the special notice of our support for the calling of a special session to vote on Nebraska becoming a winner-take-all state. Thank you for standing with the people. We appreciate your bravery and leadership. The faxes are coming in like crazy, everybody. The email is also info@jimpillen.com. And what an opportunity to be a hero. You don't always get to choose the chances to be heroic, but this is one of them. Joining us now is Julie Kelly. Check out her Substack, declassified.live. That is declassified.live. Julie, welcome back to the program. Julie, there's so much information going on with all of these cases. It's hard to track. What is the latest with Judge Chutkan? Let's just kind of go one by one. What is the latest?
Right. So Judge Tanya Chutkan is presiding over Jack Smith's four-count indictment against Donald Trump for the events of January 6th and attempts to allegedly overturn the 2020 election. That trial had originally been set to begin on March 4th. It is indefinitely postponed, Charlie, as you know, awaiting oral arguments from the Supreme Court on the matter of presidential immunity from criminal prosecution. Oral arguments are set for April 25th. It will be at least a month, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months before the Supreme Court renders an opinion on that. If they come down and decide the lower courts were correct in Washington, D.C., Democrat judges deciding that a president can face criminal prosecution for the first time, then all the proceedings in Washington will restart. But Charlie, they're already 3 months behind the original trial date schedule. Those 3 months will have to be made up, essentially. So really, the earliest it looks like Donald Trump could go to trial in Washington, if he does, would be perhaps late September. So that's what's happening in Jack Smith's
four-count indictment. Late September, are they really that brazen, Julie, that as ballots go out, and we are a month out from counting day, otherwise known as election day, that they would have Donald Trump in a federal courthouse? Is that where the country is, where while we are in the heat of the election season, where Donald Trump is contemplating whether or not to debate Joe Biden and do the final swing state tour, they want him in a federal courthouse?
Absolutely, Charlie. And I'll tell you why. Two things. Tanya Chutkan, an Obama appointee who has a long record of making anti-Trump statements in her courtroom in January 6th court proceedings. And I have a piece on Real Clear Investigations on that. She has made it clear that politics plays no part in her courtroom. She doesn't care when election day is. She didn't care when the convention was. The only thing she cared about, she said, was protecting the integrity of the judicial proceedings. Now, add on to that, Charlie, that Attorney General Merrick Garland, in an interview a few months ago, said that both this trial in Washington and the other federal criminal trial in Southern Florida are out of the Department of Justice's hands. As you know, there's typically this 60, 90-day reprieve. The Department of Justice can't bring criminal indictments that could impact the election. What Merrick Garland has said is because those indictments were already handed down in 2023, they're in the hands of these two judges, Judge Chutkin in Washington, Judge Cannon in Southern Florida, that DOJ has nothing more to do with it, that it would be up to the judges to decide to prolong those trials until after the election. So to your point, could Donald Trump, if the Supreme Court comes back, issues a ruling favorable to the government, could he be sitting in a Washington, D.C. courtroom on, as you call it, counting day? Absolutely. Because Tanya Chutkin, nor Jack Smith, nor Merrick Garland would do anything to stop that. In fact, I think that they believe that that's an ideal situation.
I mean, this is my one, I mean, not my one, but one of my primary complaints of this House Republican conference, which is they could have said, hey, we're going to shut down the government other than no trials of candidates or their families in an election year, which, by the way, would have impacted Hunter Biden. I'm fine with that. The Hunter Biden thing is so weak. It is so lacking in teeth. I don't care if Hunter Biden, it's just not even anything that is consequential to his actual crimes. They could have kicked it to February or the year after. The Congress would have been the only one that could have intervened here because you have a rogue administrative state that I hope everybody is processing this. Think about how wild election season is. You got candidates traveling all over. You could potentially be in a non-televised federal courthouse, Julie. And he would have to stand trial, right? I mean, this means that he'd have to like sit in a trial between 10 and 3 p.m., get on a plane, campaign, and go back to D.C. I mean, you can waive your rights, I think, not have to be there. But that's very unusual, right? Juries tend to not like that. We really need to game this out, everybody. If they get their way, if it ends up happening in September or October, I certainly hope not. And if any Democrat is out there advocating for Donald Trump to be in a courthouse or September, October, you are a repulsive person. I'm sorry. You are deciding to shred the United States Constitution and our traditions just to try to win an election.
And to your point, there will be no television access as of right now, or even audio access, public audio line to the trial in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump's team and actually a coalition of major news organizations have petitioned Judge Chutkin to allow at least one pool camera in the courtroom. And if not that, then audio access, which at the very least, Charlie, they should allow audio access. They allow that during COVID. I covered court proceedings in Washington in 2021. They had call-in lines for every single judge. There's no reason to deny that. But furthermore, Charlie, think of the jury in Washington, D.C., that will be in judgment of not just the former president, but the president who wants to unseat the president that Washington, D.C. voted 92% for, Joe Biden, which, by the way, DOJ has a 100% conviction rate. Think about that. A perfect conviction rate for January 6th defendants in jury trials. Not a single January 6th defendant. Over 100 trials now, more than 130 or 40 defendants, because some of the trials have more than one defendant. Not one has walked out of a federal courtroom in the nation's capital after going before a DC jury fully exonerated from government charges. That in itself is unprecedented. That's what's coming for Donald Trump if the Supreme Court comes back and says, yes, an American president is subjected to criminal prosecution for conduct committed during his presidency.
Do you think there's any chance whatsoever of a venue change, or that is dead on arrival right now?
Well, of course, they will file a change of venue motion. Usually, Charlie, that comes just within a few weeks of the trial. I'm sure it's something that his defense attorneys have already been preparing. But also, again, after covering all these trials, not a single judge in Washington, D.C., a Trump-appointed judge, Reagan-appointed judge, Clinton, Obama, it doesn't matter. Not a single judge in Washington has granted a change of venue motion now 2+ years after jury trials began. They know that DOJ, they've been part of helping DOJ win this perfect conviction record in January 6th prosecutions, but yet they refuse to move a single trial to, say, parts of Maryland or Virginia, where at least these J6ers have a tiny chance of a fair trial. There is no way Judge Chutkin, and she's already signaled this, that she will not grant a change of venue motion. She will argue that Donald Trump is responsible for influencing the jury pool in Washington with his out-of-court statements. So stand by for that as well.
You all know how your tax dollars have been used to push progressive politics in public schools, while math and English scores decline. For years, America's biggest asset managers have been doing the same thing, using your retirement savings to push their politics, their DEI and ESG agenda, without your consent and at your expense. There's an alternative. At Strive, we put shareholders first. Maximizing your returns is our only agenda. To learn more, visit strive.com now. That's strive.com.
Julie, I want to ask you about this story here that hasn't received a lot of coverage. There's a CNN story here. What is going on here? Walk us through it.
So, Charlie, I will have a piece up this afternoon on my Substack, Declassified with Julie Kelly, talking about Judge Reggie Walton, the dishonorable Judge Reggie Walton, U.S. District Court judge in Washington, appointed by George W. Bush, who has a history also, just like Judge Chutkan, of making inflammatory, untrue, and anti-Trump statements in his courtroom. He just got condemned. He actually just got reversed by the D.C. Appellate Court last week, who ordered him to vacate what he had imposed on a January 6th defendant, which was probation officers scouring this man's computer for what he called disinformation about the 2020 election and the events of January 6th. Reggie Walton took the extremely rare, I think unprecedented move last week of going on CNN, giving an interview to Caitlin Collins, where Reggie Walton weighed in on the gag order imposed by Judge Juan Merchan in the Manhattan trial and suggested that Donald Trump is responsible for accelerating threats against sitting judges and their family members. Now, this is a man, Reggie Walton. He's been on the bench now for 40 years. He said a senior judge, 75 years old in Washington, refuses to retire because, Charlie, he doesn't want to step away from what gratifies him the most, which is now sentencing and ordering more than 22 January 6th defendants to federal prison, mostly on nonviolent offenses, including misdemeanor charges. He has sent at least 22 to federal prison, while at the same time using his courtroom to berate these individuals for supporting Donald Trump, who he called a charlatan, who he has called a demagogue. He claims that the 2020 election was on the up and up, and he has shouted at American citizens in his courtroom for what he, in one instance, called falling for election lies, hook, line, and sinker, putting people on probation for 5 years so the government can spy on them into the 2024 election cycle. This is just one example of a judge, partisan, corrupt, out of control, unaccountable judge, who these January 6th defendants must deal with and face in court. So again, reversed by the D.C. Appellate Court last week, Mike Davis with the Article 3 Project has filed an ethics complaint against Reggie Walton for doing that CNN interview. And I will have a whole piece up later today explaining just some of the comments he's made in court about Donald Trump, American citizens who support him.
Final question here, Julie. We have this New York case coming up with Alvin Bragg. What can we expect? There were some whispers that Hope Hicks might testify. What do we know about this?
So the witness list, I believe, will still be coming together. That trial date is set for Monday, April 15th. Donald Trump has not only, it looks like today, just filed for or is going to file a venue motion change. He is also seeking to reverse or vacate Judge Merchan's gag order on him, which is, includes, as you know, prohibiting Donald Trump from talking about the political, lucrative political consulting business that Juan Merchan's daughter has with top Democrats, including Representative Adam Schiff. So still a lot to watch in that trial this week in advance of what is supposed to be the start of the trial on April 15th.
Julie, great work. Everyone check out her Substack, declassified.live. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. A while back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, Google, and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells, so if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since you used Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Go to strongcell.com and learn more for yourself. That's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155. Or visit strongcell.com/Charlie. Joining us now is Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life of America and host of Explicitly Pro-Life Podcast. Kristen, welcome to the program. You and I have been texting. Kristen, I think it's fair to say ahead of this announcement, you were a little nervous, but you were pleased generally by what you saw this morning. Please tell our audience about it.
Yeah, absolutely, Charlie. And thank you for all of your work on this very important issue. As you know, there was a New York Times article a couple months ago saying that President Trump is considering choosing a divisive late-term abortion limit as his federal line. And this would have been a mistake for the pro-life movement for decades to come to set this like European-like stalemate on abortion that would have allowed the Democrats to fundraise and try to mobilize their radical base that would have only, even if it's passed, you know, prevent maybe 4 to 6% of abortions. We need to be very clear with our state elected officials who we've been on the ground, Students for Life Action campaign for weeks now as we're in primary season, that we expect them to act and we expect them to act with courage. And so we didn't want to see a 15 or 16 week line, which is this late term limit that the pro-life movement is quite frankly, Charlie, has never been wanting and been working for. I mean, you all know what our goal is in the pro-life movement, to see federal protection of preborn human life from the moment of conception. But we aren't there yet. And I think President Trump made the smart and sound decision today to say, look, states, this is your time. This is your time to protect children. Protect children, as many children as you possibly can. And this certainly doesn't say that President Trump, it doesn't have a lot of work to do. We are thinking about his appointment for vice president, cabinet secretaries. You know, one of the things the president needs to do swiftly as soon as he's reelected is stop the persecution against 80-year-old grandmas who are sitting in prisons right now waiting what we believe will be a 10 to 11 year federal prison sentence for having the audacity to pray in front of Planned Parenthood while squatters take over homes in places like New York City and their homeowners are being arrested. It's absolutely insane what the Biden administration has done to pro-lifers. And that's exactly what he can get started doing day one in eliminating these pro-abortion swamp.
Kristen, that was a phenomenal answer. And I agree completely. I want to walk through this because there are some very loud voices right now that are saying Donald Trump surrendered on the issue because he didn't put a weak ban. You and I see it the exact opposite. And there was a huge lobbying campaign to say, hey, draw this line. But it almost would have turned it into like the Canadian European model where the fight for life would have just been completely derailed, especially where we're starting to try to make movement in states. So can you add more detail to that? Because I think that's incredibly important.
Yeah, when you look, Charlie, at Europe and the European pro-life laws, the pro-life movement there has been decimated. They have claimed a false consensus on abortion for decades in Europe, that they allow abortions in the first trimester, which we all know where the majority of abortions are committed, and they prevent largely abortions in the second and third trimester. We did not fight the 49 years of tyranny under Roe versus Wade to establish a European line like that. 15-16 week limit on abortion federally would prevent 4-6% of children from being aborted. When we're talking about making strides in the pro-life movement to protect women and children from the predatory abortion industry, we need to be talking, Charlie, about chemical abortions, which are now 63% plus of all abortions. President Trump did not exclude states. And in fact, what he said today in his statement was that states should and must continue to act to protect human life. And I think there's so much that he needs to do. I think this statement today keeps the position and keeps the pressure on Democrats who can't name one abortion they disagree with. You know, you think about when the New York Times article came out in February, that rumor that President Trump is going to take a 15-16 week position. My inbox was immediately flooded with fundraising emails from Planned Parenthood, NARAL, all of the left, capitalizing on this, saying Donald Trump's going to ban all abortions, even though a late term limit would only ban 4-6% abortions, fundraising, using it to build up money, to build up their base. Today, Planned Parenthood has been radio silent. They're not saying anything. My inbox is largely just filled with pro-lifers today. So that tells you he very smartly did not play into what they wanted him to do. Now they are going to have to go on defense and prove to Americans why they supported abortion up until the moment of birth with taxpayer funding for any reason, while we do the hard work in the states of protecting human life.
And if he would have said a 16-week ban, it almost tacitly says, like, I'm okay with abortion up to that limit, right?
That's right.
And
it
would have taken the wind out of a lot of our sails that are in states trying to do this. And I also just want to talk about, the morality of the topic. A lesser part of his statement that was not mentioned is he was like, we love babies, we love life, we love families. And some people say that goes without saying, but contrast that with the pseudo cult of death that basically is Planned Parenthood. I thought it was brilliant.
I think that line was very important, and it wasn't just a throwaway line, as you just mentioned, because Democrats are really good at destroying things. You know, you talk about this every day. They've destroyed our economy, and they destroyed our national border security, our national defense, and now they want to destroy, and they've been very clear, they're out to destroy the family, particularly the nuclear family, and destroying babies while they're at it. There is so much the president can do, and I actually appreciate some of the positive effects, affirming statements he made in his statement today, because the op-ed I had yesterday in the town hall, I literally listed out in detail what the president can do beyond just the appointments. We're talking about so much we need to do policy wise, and you and I have talked about this, Charlie, before. 73-75% of Americans don't know pregnancy centers exist. They don't know all of the good the pro-life movement does and all the resources that are available. So abortion truly should be an unthinkable option. Ending abortion is a very, very complex question. It is not going to be ended just with our laws. It also has to be ended with our culture. And that starts with transforming the way families and mothers in crisis think about an unplanned pregnancy and know that they have support and options for them. So I thought there was a lot of good to come out of the statement. Of course, the pro-life movement is uniformly in agreement that ending abortion is a federal issue because your state lines should not determine when your human rights begin or end, of course. And that is our ultimate goal. That is what we are working towards, either a 14th Amendment protection or another human life amendment approach where we see all children protected. But in the meantime, we can work with this. With the math I've got in the U.S. Senate, I mean, most of pro-lifers are homeschoolers. We can count. We know we don't have 60 votes in the Senate right now. This is a statement that we can work with to excite pro-lifers across America to say, President Trump, he is still with us. He is still pro-life. And look, if we do not act now to donate, to get involved, to sign up to volunteer, to stop the Biden administration, We are going to have four more years of the most pro-abortion radical administration we've ever seen in the history of America.
I love that. And it's so realistic. And it's where it's also the other part of the statement that I want to emphasize is he didn't apologize for putting the justices to get rid of Roe, is that he leaned into it. Can you talk about that, Kristen? Because a lot of people I know were saying, you got to stop bragging on this. And he was like, you know what? No, you know, this was a bad decision. I want to, he thanked the justices by name.
He
by
did,
the way.
By name.
And I think that was, he kind of just told the other people whispering in his ear, no, I'm proud of that. And he should be proud of that. It was a, it was a landmark achievement.
He absolutely should be proud of that, Charlie. And I think that, to me, that statement where he reaffirmed his, you know, victory in reversing Roe, I think what that proves is that we're going to see more pro-life judicial appointments from a second Trump administration. And that's what the pro-lifers need to hear, because to be honest with you, and you know this, we have been betrayed by GOPers before. And that's exactly what was happening here and what he was being told by a lot of those GOP insiders to tell him to backtrack on his pro-life statements. And I think that was him very clearly telling us he is still going to be appointing pro-life Supreme Court justices, pro-life justices to the federal bench, which is exactly what we need to see happen. And he's not backing away from his pro-life views. When politicians and any elected official put their head in their stand or try to back away from their pro-life views, it always spells disaster for them, because the abortion industry is a bully and they will bully you. They will chase you down. Just what I told my kids, you can never run from a bully. You have to stand up to bullies. And he knows this. I mean, he was there in Washington, D.C. for 4 years with these bullies. He gets that. And I was excited by his statement today. And what my thought after I watched it was, game on. Let's go. Now is the time to recruit and mobilize as many young people as we can across the country to get out to knock doors and to show America what President Trump is standing for, which is life and families, and what Joe Biden and his administration is standing for, which is more abortion up until the moment of birth, no limits, and taxpayer funded.
That is so smart. And Donald Trump also said, hey, remember, they're the extremists on this issue. And if there's anyone that could play offense on an issue, it's him. Chris, how could people support you? Talk about Students for Life, your great podcast. Tell everyone about
it. Sure. Yeah, you can go to studentsforlife.org or studentsforlifeaction.org. Make a donation to our work to mobilize pro-life young people to get out, to knock on doors, to change minds on campuses. We're registering kids on college campuses. We're turning out kids to vote, chasing the ballot on college campuses. So we have a lot of work to do. We change minds of pro-choice voters for about $12 a student. So love to have folks support. Follow my podcast anywhere you get your podcast at Explicitly Pro-Life.
I got to tell you, the work you guys do is effective. We see so many young people say, I follow Students for Life. I'm part of it. It's excellent work. Very supportive. Keep up the great work, Kristen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Thanks, Turning Point, for all that Turning Point does.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. She's great. I tell you, she is one of the most important pro-life voices in the country. And I agree complete with her commentary. For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues, especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I want to tell you about how Turning Point Academy is working with the Herzog Foundation and how you at home can also benefit from it. They have an online publication called The Lion and also Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. So check it out right now, HerzogFoundation.com. Portions of The Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. That is HerzogFoundation.com. Some phenomenal news happened this weekend. The largest political fundraiser ever. Nearly doubling that of Obama, Clinton, and Biden. We are seeing the forces come together. We are seeing people that have a fair amount of wealth, billionaires and otherwise, they're seeing the country fall apart, and they're starting to put capital and money into this election cycle. Let's go to Cut 11. Fox reports that Trump raked in over $50 million. We need it. At last night's fundraiser. Play Cut 11.
Trump is calling it the biggest night in fundraising history. The fundraiser at hedge fund billionaire John Paulson's home raked in over $50 million, according to the RNC. That's up from early estimates of $43 million and nearly double what President Biden raised at his New York City fundraiser with former Presidents Obama and Clinton. This was the first major fundraiser for Trump and the RNC since he became the party's presumptive presidential nominee.
This is amazing news. Makes you wonder, what was Rana doing that entire time? We have so much ground to make up for. Here's President Trump responding to his record-shattering fundraiser in Palm Beach. Play cut 19.
People are just wanting change. The rich people want it. Poor people want it. Everybody wants change. Our country is really doing poorly. We're a laughing stock all over the world. We're going to get that change very quickly. And this has been some incredible evening before it even starts, because people, they wanted to contribute to a cause of making America great again, and that's what's happened. We're going to make America great again. Everyone knows it. The election's going to be in now a little more than 6 months, and it's going to be the most important, I believe, election we've ever had. I think it's going to go down as the most important date in the history of our country. That's November 5th will be the most important date in the history of our country. And thank you very much. Thank you very much for being here.
We're starting to see forces come together that allow us to compete. CNN.com, key Democrat groups pour $186 million in the battle for the House and preps for trench warfare with the Republican Party. We are going to have some major battles in front of us. And this also relates to Nebraska. This relates into the dark money that is flying into CD2 in Nebraska. We need them to spread their money out. We need to enlarge the map, make them defend more ground. The Democrat operatives are on the ground right there in Nebraska. We might run into some Democrat operatives while we're there. They are there lobbying, running ads. In fact, last week it was announced that major Democrat groups are now running advertisements in Omaha media trying to stop Nebraska from going to winner take all. Now, I want you to imagine, and it's not totally fruitful to do this, but it's important because it proves a point that we were successful and part of a group that got rid of Ronna McRomney. Imagine if Ronna, back in August, made this her primary mission. Imagine if her as RNC chair would have said, you know, I'm under a lot of fire. I'm going to try to get us another electoral vote in Nebraska. She blew off Eric Underwood, who was the chair of Nebraska. He said, hey, let's do this. And she said, nah, I'm not interested. You do have to wonder, was Ronna McRomney paid opposition? Was she a plant or an insurgent? How could you blow off a state party chair that wanted to get an extra electoral vote for whoever the nominee was going to be? How could you possibly justify that? It makes you wonder, who else did she blow off? And it's so telling she went straight to NBC News, even though NBC News didn't even want her once she got hired there. Don't want to spend too much time on what Ronna didn't do, but we are trying our best, the grassroots and you, to try to fix this. And we were successful in getting rid of Ronna, even though a lot of people said, waste of time, don't do it. What if we as a community, us, are able to get this one across the finish line? By the way, you know the RNC had their best fundraising month ever in March? That just proves that our focus for months on Ronna was a righteous cause. People said, oh, it's not going to make any difference. The RNC had their best fundraising month ever as soon as you get Ronna out of the way. And now we might get another electoral vote. It's amazing what happens when you get better leaders. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.